I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Tom, and I'm very excited today because today we're doing our 100th episode. I had no idea when we started this. This was all Mike Manning's idea. I had no idea when we started this thing. That we'd make it to even 10 episodes, never mind 100. Congratulations all around, guys. 100 episodes. How do you feel?
I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. As long as we're feeling good.
Yeah.
Josh, what are you doing? What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a lovely dark beer called Catharsis, but I have to limit my intake tonight.
Well, that's too bad because there's a drinking game involved in this, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up in the hospital. Mike, how are you doing, and what are you drinking tonight?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking a Strongbow hard apple cider.
I love me some Strongbow. That's a great apple. That's a great cider. Tommy, my friend, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
Well, as you know, Tommy, I was feeling ill earlier this week, so I'm taking it easy and drinking some sweet, sweet pussy.
I also have some sweet, sweet pussy to drink here also.
It is delicious, refreshing. And it's going to keep me awake all night. Sweet, sweet pussy.
It is an energy drink founded by a female company that wanted to take back the word. And we thought we would try some tonight. I'm going to crack a can a little bit later to see what it tastes like because I haven't tasted pussy yet. But I'm hoping this is as good as it sounds. Tom, is it good?
It's good. It's very sweet, though. And, right. You know, I don't drink a lot of sweet things because I'm diabetic, so I will only have one pussy for the night because I'm just a one pussy kind of guy.
This is how we lose listeners, just so everyone knows.
I'm not saying shit.
We ain't found shit.
And because it's our 100th episode, we're going to go over the Long Box guys, 100 favorite comic books. That's right. We each picked 25 comic books to talk about kind of quickly, and we're going to go over them for this podcast. Now, we understand that there's probably going to be a lot of laps, so everyone play the drinking game with us. If anybody else in the Long Box crew agrees or has it on their list, everyone takes a drink.
Or, listeners, you can stop right now, make your own list of 25, and drink along with us.
Oh, that's good. Everyone, we'll have a pause right here. Diane, give a pause. I know you got 25 good ones.
And we're back.
All right, then. And we're back.
I hope you're done. It's a good list.
Everyone, and just for Diane, they all include Roy Harper.
Every single one. Well, I got a couple Roy Harper. I got at least one Roy Harper that I think we're all going to agree on. So we're going to start. And if all four of us agree on a comic book, by the way, you have to chug your drink. That doesn't mean you have to finish it, but take a big old swallow. I'm going to start with one of my all. Yes, Tommy?
Question. By agree, do you mean on our list or just in general would we like the comic?
No,
it's got to be on your list. There's going to be a bunch of comics that we're all going to slap our heads on and go, oh, man, I should have. That's one of my favorites. I should have put that on my list. But we forgot for some reason. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that. But if it's on your list, that's when it counts, okay?
All right, what do you got?
All right.
First one.
All right, I want to start off with one of my favorite. This probably, if I was going in order, it might be my number one. But I'm going to say, guess what just came down the chimney?
Oh,
that is nobody? Nope. Really? Oh, that was my favorite standalone Kitty Pryde comic of all time. It's when one of the brood come down the chimney on Christmas Eve, and Kitty has to fight it off herself. And that's a great comic. I'm surprised I'm the only one on that one. Mikey, why don't you give us one?
At number 25, I have Justice League of America number 111, Balance of Power by Len Wein. I chose it because it was my first superhero comic.
I should have known that was going to be yours, but I didn't pick it either. I didn't pick that one.
Not on my list.
Huh?
Yeah. That doesn't have sentimental meaning to you guys. It's understandable.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, Tommy, what do you got?
Well, I chose a bunch of comics I didn't think any of you guys would choose that are favorites of mine. So I'm going to choose Nexus by Steve Rude and Mike Baron from 1981, originally published by First Comics, which was then published later on by Dark Horse. A solid, good comic.
Okay, that's a good comic, but I didn't pick it either. Josh, give me one.
Bottom of my list is the first six omnibus of The Walking Dead.
Ooh,
Walking Dead is a great series. Good choice. Solid comic. Had a good long run in there.
Solid guy. I should have picked. That's one of the head slappers for me. I should have picked that one. My next choice is one that I'll be more surprised if you don't chug a drink than not. Vader Down.
Vader Down.
Is that three?
That's three. It did not make my list.
And
the only reason it didn't make my list is I limited it. I didn't want any books that crossed over from one comic to another. So Vader Down didn't make it.
Although it's obviously
the best Star Wars comic out there.
It's really probably the best Star Wars comic out there. If they do a standalone movie for Vader, God, I hope they do Vader Down because it is terrific. It's more of a horror movie than anything else.
Well, if you're the Rebel Alliance, yeah, it's
a
horror movie.
If you're a Y-Wing pilot.
If you're a Y-Wing pilot, it's the fucking Odyssey. So since all three of us agree, we'll go into a slightly deeper explanation. Vader crash lands on a planet, and the entire Imperial Army goes, hey, we got a chance to kill Vader. They send like an army after him, and Vader says, I see nothing in front of me but dead men. And he just goes on a fucking rampage, and it is awesome. Good side stories in there, too, with I think Dr. Aphra's in there and a bunch of other great stuff. Terrific, terrific comic book all around. Anyone else want to add anything to that?
No, that's good.
All right. Mike, give me his number two for you.
At 24, I have Incredible Hulk, Volume 2, Issues number 55 to 59, Hide in Plain Sight by Brian Jones.
Okay.
Didn't have it.
Not a surprise, but the Incredible Hulk, I never really was into the Incredible Hulk until I read this series. It is the Hulk against Absorbing Man, and it made me actually love the Hulk.
All right. Surprised no one drank to that one, but okay. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Mage by Matt Wagner.
Drink.
Drink.
Didn't make my list.
Wait, which Mage?
How did Mage not make your list?
Which Mage, though? Josh. There's been three series.
I mean, The Hero Defined is the one that I grew up on.
I had The Hero Discovered, but I'll still drink because Mage made my list.
I put all the Mages, so I'm good.
They're all fantastic. But Matt Wagner, I mean, they were originally, when it first came out, it was done by Comico, a company that is now long defunct. Just a great story, kind of an Arthurian legend, kind of updated for the modern world. Kevin Matchstick with his baseball bat doing good in the world. Fantastic comic.
I totally agree. Great comic. Josh, what do you got next?
I have the miniseries Wolverine 1-4 by Claremont and Frank Miller.
And everyone drink.
That's at least on Tom's list.
Oh, yeah, that was a great one.
Did not make my list, but I do love Chris Claremont.
That was a great one. Josh, why did you love it so much?
That was really like sort of my intro to Frank Miller as an artist, really. And, you know, as mostly a Marvel fan and then seeing him come over, I love Claremont and everything he does. Plus, you know, he looks like my dad.
He does look like your dad. All right, I'm going to go over to another Hulk issue since Mike talked about one. And this is the Hulk versus Wolverine versus Wendigo. I don't know which issue of the Hulk it is. Mikey, do you know that what the issue number is?
Josh owns it. You should ask him.
Josh?
This is, you're talking about the original Yellow Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The first appearance of Wolverine.
The first appearance. I can't think of the issue number.
That's Incredible Hulk Volume 1, though.
All right. Well, if no one else has that fight on their list...
I have a similar one, but not that one.
Oh, that was a great fight. That was one of my all-time greatest fights. Even being a comic book nerd, I know no one's probably going to die during this, like forever die. But there seemed to be something hanging in the air, like not everyone's going to make it out of this fight. This is too vicious. This is too big. It was a really well-drawn, well-captioned, well-done fight, where I really thought there were stakes in the game, and I don't normally feel that. So what do you got next there, Mikey?
At number 23, I have Black Panther Volume 2 by Christopher Priest, issues number 9 through 12, Enemy of the State. As I've talked about previously, I love Christopher Priest's Black Panther run.
Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Moon Knight, Fist of Khonshu from back in 1985. This is my first introduction to Moon Knight, and I loved this comic book series when it came out. It's where Moon Knight is first introduced as a character with sort of multiple personalities and is kind of trying to hold it all together while juggling being a superhero and having these different kind of personalities in his head that he's switching back and forth on.
I have a feeling we're going to hear more about that character later on.
I was going to say, I'm surprised Mike didn't chime in on that one. How about you there, Josh?
I got the Vision at 23.
Yep, you do. Yep. That was my next pick, you son of a bitch.
How many people? I'm counting votes here. Just me and Mike?
Just two, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, by Tom King. Freaking phenomenal series.
Phenomenal series. And thank you for the input, Mike. I appreciate it.
In a nutshell, the Vision creates his own little nuclear family, his wife and two a son and a daughter. And he does not choose the most stable of people for the personality of his wife, which results in horrible, horrible shit happening. One of the great things about it is they tell you what's going to happen before it happens, and I was still surprised when it happened.
That's pretty funny, actually. I like that. All right, I'm going to be surprised if no one – I won't be surprised if no one picked this one, but I'll be surprised if anyone doesn't agree with me that this is one of the all-time great comic books of all time. Kitty's Fairy Tale. Nobody picked that. Nobody picked Kitty's Fairy Tale?
Mine, I think, is a different series. I think I have Kitty's other miniseries on my list, but not that one.
Kitty's Fairy Tale was a standalone one issue in which she told this fairy tale, which we kind of get a prequel to Nightcrawler's miniseries, where Nightcrawler's kind of a Corsair scoundrel. And it was just to put Ilyana to bed. And I just loved this comic book as a kid. For some reason, I thought this was, you know, just a great comic. And I reread it and read it and read it. And I thought, you know, how much fun is it that in the middle of a comic book, we can have a little fairy tale side story that doesn't involve anyone, you know, dying or getting hurt. And I just really liked that one. So Kitty's Fairy Tale for me was on the list.
All right.
I'm a sentimental guy. What can I say? Mikey, what do you got next?
I had Vision, so we can go over to LT.
LT, go ahead. Yeah, don't worry. When I skip one, I just kind of skip one. So I think we're all going to end up around the same page. But go ahead, LT.
I have Elephant Men, Comic Craft comic book by Richard Starkings. And it's had a number of different artists on it, so I'm not going to mention the artists, even though I like the land drawing ones the best. Fantastic comic.
Yep, very good series.
Good series. That didn't make my list, but you recommended it to me, and I was glad you did. Josh, what do you got next?
This is one of my few single-issue selections.
Ah.
X-Men Giant Size Annual Number 1.
No, I didn't pick that one.
Introduces all the new X-Men.
A giant island mutant.
Just a freaking classic.
That is a great comic. That's a head slapper for me. I should have got that one. All right. If Tommy, my good friend Tommy, doesn't pick this one, I'm going to be terribly disappointed. Demon in a Bottle.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I knew you picked Demon. That's a great issue, isn't it? Demon in a Bottle, Iron Man. I don't know the issue. Tommy, I'm sure you do. Do you know the issue number there?
It's a several issue storyline.
It's a several issue storyline. It's a fantastic.
Tony Stark's battle with the alcohol addiction, coming to terms with himself as an alcoholic. Terrific storyline. It really drew me in. I couldn't wait for the next issue. I really thought, once again, this was one of those skin in the game things for me. I really thought this might be the end of Tony Stark as Iron Man. So I thought there was real consequences to this particular comic book. So I think that's why I liked it so much.
So it was from issue 120 to 128 in the Iron Man comic. And it was so fantastic.
I knew you had that one, Tommy.
The issue particularly that was so striking to me is where he is on the streets and he is basically selling his coat for a bottle of booze. And it's like one of the coldest nights out there. And it's just amazing.
Great comic book.
And Bob Layton wrote that comic book because they were tired of Tony having heart problems and wanted to do something else to fuck with him.
Yep.
Because gosh darn it, you gotta fuck with Tony. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got next?
At number 21, I have issues 6 through 10 of Gotham Central by Greg Rucka. The series is called Half a Life, and it is when Renee Montoya gets outed as a lesbian. If you haven't read Gotham Central, it is just about the Gotham PD members living in a city where there's a frickin' vigilante who's wrecking all your cases and having to deal with insane clowns, etc.
That's a head slapper for me. I should have picked that one. That should have made my list. That was a great comic book. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Squadron Supreme, Supreme Power from 2003.
It's another good one. No, but it's a great one. I don't know why I didn't pick that one.
It's actually one of my wife's favorite comic books.
I was going to say, so this has special feeling for me because this trade paperback is kind of one of the books that actually got me back into comics. I had taken like a 30-year hiatus from comics, and I saw this in a remainder section at the Harvard bookstore. And I was like, you know, this looks pretty good. And so I bought it and it just sucked me back into comics. I was like, this is really, really good. Whereas when I left comics, Marvel was putting out books that, as one artist described them to me, were polished turds because they had fancy covers with hardly any, with nothing but crap on the inside.
All right, that's a pretty good description. Josh, what do you got next?
The next one I got, Secret Wars.
Ooh,
one of my favorite – the original first Secret Wars, Secret Wars 1, has two of my favorite scenes in it. One where Spider-Man is detected and he quickly embarrasses all of the X-Men as he gets made clean. And, of course, Spider-Man grabs the black suit and starts off all the ensuing Venom storylines. No one else had Secret Wars, huh?
I didn't. That's another head slapper for me. That's a good one.
It was one of my honorable mentions, but again, I didn't.
I didn't get around it. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make the list, but it was
my 78 on my spreadsheet.
Yeah.
All right, now this doesn't make Josh's list. Then Josh made a mistake. All right. Death of Riptide.
Of course, it's my number one. What are you talking about?
Is that your number? I got your number one. I'm sorry. Yeah.
My number one is The Mutant Massacre, specifically, of course, issue 211, which has my favorite panel in any comic ever. Of course it was going to be on my list.
Make peace with your gods, little man, for you are next.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
I shouldn't have, maybe I should have waited a little bit on that one, but that's about where it is on my list. I mean, I really liked it. It's easily my top 25, but not my number one.
That would have made my list, but it was a crossover. It was X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, 210, 213, New Mutants, 46, X-Factor, 9 to 11, Thor, 373 and 374, and of course, Power Pack number 27. That's right, Josh. That's right. Your favorite fucking comic involves the Power Pack.
God,
you needed a graph, a Venn diagram, and a goddamn compass to figure out that storyline.
First time they literally put a chart inside those books, showing you what issues you had to buy. Yeah,
and what order to read them in.
And what order? What order.
I went to like 7 stores to get that stupid ass Power Pack comic book.
You could have lived without the Power Pack bit. It wasn't
no,
that important.
You could not.
It
if
wasn't.
A real
but you didn't
fan,
know that.
You read the
until
fucking
you
Power
read
Pack.
Mikey, what do you got next?
So I think we're all about to drink. Pretty sure all right. We're all about to drink.
Chuck.
Get your drinks ready because at number 20. I have all 12 issues of Mark Russell's classic, The Flintstones.
Oh, how did I forget this?
I forgot it, too. I had to admit this should have made my list.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. What's wrong with you fuckers?
I know. I'm a monster.
It was so good.
I feel like
I
should take myself behind a shed and beat myself to death with a shovel.
There's like stuff I'm going to take off my list now.
I know.
Just don't old yeller yourself. It's okay.
Jesus Christ.
It really was a great one, though. Yeah, that should have made my list. I'm looking at like 3 things. I'm like, yeah, I can eat.
I thought for sure we were all going to pick that. I was like, that's the one everybody's going to have on their list.
I really thought Guess What Just Came Down the Chimney we were all going to have. All right. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Battlestar Galactica by Dynamite Comics by Greg Pak and Nigel Raymore back from 2007, where they kind of continued the storyline of the sci-fi series. I loved these comics.
Is that the one where they encounter the old Cylon Centurions?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Adama finds a fleet of old Centurions that are still loyal to humans, and they use them against the newfangled toasters. It is freaking sweet.
It is.
Damn.
I love that series.
That didn't make my list. Shit. I'm regretting that. Would have definitely been an honorable mention.
At the very least. All right. What do you got next, Tommy?
Oh, I just went. You want me to go again?
Oh, sorry. I lost track there. What do you got, Josh?
Sitting at 20 for me is the entire run of a local fellow, Ben Edlund's The Tick.
Oh,
that's a good choice.
Good one. Nice. The Tick didn't make my list. Didn't make anyone's list?
Wow.
There are a lot of comics out there.
There are. I guess our tastes are more scattered than I thought. But if you guys were thinking, really thinking when you made your list, at least someone's going to drink with me on this one. J.O. Barr, The Crow.
Indeed.
All right.
He was number 8 on my list.
So 3. 3 out of 4?
3 out of 4.
Mike, you're my descending vote on that one?
Yeah, I never read it.
You never read The Crow?
Never read The Crow?
That's surprising. It's a great comic book.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So for anyone who hasn't read that one, I mean, it's a terrific comic book. Let me erase it from my list. Great art, good writing, spun off some movies, maybe even a movie franchise if you count some of the bad movies with the good movies, and just a good, good black and white comic back in the day. Mikey, what do you got next?
At number 19, I have issue number 14 of She-Hulk, Volume 2, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Awesome Andy But Were Afraid to Ask by Dan Slott. Yeah. A comic devoted simply to the best supporting character of the She-Hulk series, Andy the Awesome Android.
That comic made me cry, made me laugh, and made me happy that Andy could fly. All these things and more. What do you got next, Tommy?
I've got Letter 44.
That's an honorable mention for me. It made my list, and then as I developed the list, it got bumped down too far.
Oh, I love that book.
I don't know what letter 44 is. Give me a quickie on that.
It's a book where the crash of 2007 was done on purpose as a device to secretly divert funds into research and development and also to pay for a space program, because the U.S. government has learned that aliens are real and they're on their way to us.
Okay.
And this is all revealed to a brand new president in the form of a letter from the outgoing president. And so there's a mission that has been launched from the Earth to intercept the aliens. And that's already going on, while also on Earth is a team of researchers trying to develop weapons in case the aliens are not friendly.
And Tom has already covered this in a past episode. It was in one of his Back of the Long Box series.
Yeah, it does ring a bell now that you said the letter to the president thing.
It's a great series.
All right. Well, my next pick is one that actually, we're going to Josh next. Josh, what do you got next?
Coming in at number 19, once again, an entire series by sort of friend of the podcast, Sergio Argonés, Gru, the Wanderer.
Great. I should have put Gru on there myself. I only have two that's just big swatches, but Gru should have made mine. Why Gru for you?
I don't know. Gru is like... He was like hypnotic when I was a kid. Like it's like a highlights magazine with D&D and violence and ridiculous comedy, and it's just got every hidden little thing in it. It's a Where's Waldo with sword fights.
Yeah, I was about to say that front, you open that thing up and there's a Where's Waldo for you also as a bonus.
Yeah,
because you can see so much crazy stuff going on. He packed a lot of great stuff in there. Sergio Gomez, and also one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. I think I've gotten like three books signed for you in the past. Yeah,
he's always super nice at every con.
Every con. All right, here's another one that I think at least a couple of us should drink on, or you're going to slap your heads on, Identity Crisis.
That is a great series.
Nobody Identity Crisis? Wow.
It's a great series, but it's a little too rapey to make my list.
The story is so good, though. I mean,
it is.
Oh, I agree.
So good. I mean, I didn't like. Nobody likes rape in a comic book. I really don't think comic books should deal with rape because too many people have this as a trigger, and I think it's just too real for most comic books. But this comic book just really hit home for me. I mean, it's well done and well written, and I loved Identity Crisis. Mikey, what's your next?
At number 18, I'm probably going to be the only one with this. It is Terry Moore's Strangers in Paradise, issues 13 to 15, the high school years. It's about a woman named Francine and her best friend, who is also a lesbian named Kachu, who loves Francine unrequitedly.
All right. Unrequited love, always good. I know Strangers in Paradise, but I didn't read that one. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Star Wars Dr. Aphra.
Oh, I got that one. I love the doctor. You're talking about the one where her dad shows up and they go to that other planet and all that?
Yes.
That is a good run. Anyone else read that?
I've read it.
No, I haven't read Dr. Aphra yet.
It's good.
It's good.
It's so good in the psychopathic murder robot sort of way.
I do love the psychopathic murder robots. Wait, I can't torture them? Let me torture somebody, for God's sakes.
Please, let us help.
All right, for my next, I have, and once again, I think if anyone was really thinking, they might have got this, Snowbirds Don't Fly. Really? I'm the only one with Snowbirds Don't Fly? I know Diane at home is going, of course Snowbirds Don't Fly is a great one. Roy Harper, Addicted to Heroin, nobody?
Comic. It just didn't make my
good
list.
Comic. It didn't make my list.
All right. That's okay. Love you guys anyways. Mikey, what do you got next?
At number 17, whenever we go to a Comic-Con and somebody asks me for a book that's appropriate for all ages, this is my go-to. By Jeff Smith, it's called Bone. I put issues number 7 through 11, which is the Great Cow Race, just because the cow racing is hilarious. And it teaches kids how to make book, which is very important for kids to learn.
Yeah, you don't always have to win. You just got to make book.
Yeah.
Take that to heart, kids. What do you got next, Tommy?
I have Astonishing Ant-Man from 2015.
All right, hold on. Is that the one where he bones the beetle?
Yes, with Nick Spencer.
Drink. All I have down here is Ant-Man bones the beetle. I couldn't remember what it's from.
It's also got Grizzly.
It's got Grizz.
It's got Grizz.
That's not what I remember.
Of course not.
No, but it's a good comic book. I mean, it really goes into, you know, kind of the self-deprecation and self-loathing that Ant-Man has because he's in love with the Beetle. And it's funny. It's a well-written, funny comic book.
It is a funny comic. Huh. And I love it for it.
All right, Josh, what do you got next?
Coming in at number 18 for me is Saga.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's an honorable mention on my list.
I thought I'd get at least one other folk in there for Saga, but
I thought Tommy would have Saga. Tommy, no Saga?
No.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. It's a great comic book.
I haven't read enough of it yet. I've only read a couple of issues. I haven't delved into the Saga yet.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm delve,
my friend. Delve. I'm kind of surprised by that. All right. This is a weird one for me, but I think it might make Josh's or Mike's, and that's One Punch! One Punch!
That is a great issue.
From Justice League International?
Yeah.
Mike, you got that one?
No, it did not make my list.
It didn't make your list?
The JLI would have made my list, but it just got bumped down.
One Punch is when Blue Beetle is screaming at the top of his lungs that Batman just knocked out Guy Gardner with one punch. And the entire issue to me is a blur because all I can recall from that is Blue Beetle losing his freaking mind, asking other people, everyone saw that, right? Everyone saw that, right? One punch.
Yeah, and Black Canary is really pissed off that she missed it.
Black Canary's like, I missed it. I missed it. It's a really good comic book, and it's really well written, and it's a great issue. What do you got there, Mikey?
At number 16, I have one of the Marvel's Max series. It's Punisher Volume 2, issues 7 through 12, Kitchen Irish by Garth Ennis. I never liked the Punisher. I didn't view him as a hero. I thought he was obviously a bad guy because he kills so many people. But Garth Ennis made me appreciate the Punisher. And the Kitchen Irish was the second of the series, and I just loved it.
All right. I got to get around to that one. Everyone tells me it's great. What do you got next, Tommy?
I have Hectic Planet, also known as Pyrocore.
Oh, damn it.
That's a good one.
That is a great one.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Pyrocore. Hilarious.
The issue where they get lost in the mega superstore and just to start living there is so good.
Supermarket, yeah.
Might as well. You're already there. That's a great pick, Tommy. Okay.
God loves drunkards and children. And Halby Durzel is God's favorite drunken child.
That is great. All right. This one might have made some people's list, might not have, but My Life is a Weapon. Really? Am I just doing this for me and Diane? I'm sure she liked this series. Terrific series. Pizza Dog's in it. My Life is a Weapon.
You mean the Hawkeye?
Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye. My Life is
4. Issues number 1 through 5. My Life as a Weapon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That one is on my list. Yeah.
What did you think I was talking about?
I had no idea when you said My Life as a Weapon, just not qualifying it that it was the Hawkeye series. I thought that was a different comic. Could have been Iron Fist for all I know.
That would have been My Life as the Living Weapon.
Oh, all right. But yes.
Yeah, That, Tom, I knew what you were talking about because you've talked about Pizza Dog so much.
Yeah. That was number 9 on my list, you son of a
All
bitch.
All right, so we both agree on that one, at least. I thought someone else would agree on that one, so let me cross it off. Great series, really funny. So many good lines, bruh. Bruh, so many good lines. And, just terrific comic book. What do you got next, Mikey?
At number 15, I have Marvel Graphic Novel number 5 by Chris Claremont, X-Men, God Loves, Man Kills. It is, in my opinion, probably the single best story by the X-Men. And to back me up on it, it's Chris Claremont's favorite story that he's written about the X-Men. It delves into the casual racism that the mutants face, and people using their religion to spew hatred.
What does Chris Claremont know about the X-Men? Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? This would have made my list, but I forgot about it. This is one of those ones that slipped between my cracks. That's a good one. Good job, Mikey. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Sex Criminals, Volume 1.
Oh, I forgot about Sex Criminals, too. Damn it. Good one, Tommy.
Volume 1.
I love the first story. I thought it was the best.
The first story was the best. I mean, the second one's great, but the first one was better.
So the two main characters can stop time by orgasm, right?
Yes, yes.
And I love the fact that he uses his superpower to shit in his boss's fern.
Every day at work. Yes.
Why wouldn't you?
He goes, beats off in the bathroom. As soon as he orgasms, he runs to the boss's office, takes a dump while time is standing still. It is magnifique.
Magnifique. Good one there. LT, what do you got next, Josh?
Coming in at number 17, and I forgot to look up the issue numbers, but for me is Captain America No More. So I know we talked about it before, but I don't know if anybody else had that one.
No, I didn't have that one, but it's a great, great run. Good one.
Read that. It's the basis for Civil War, not Civil War. Civil War isn't the basis for Civil War if you're a movie buff.
Good job there, Josh. This one I'm sure no one else has. Batroc Zero.
Oh, wait, Batroc Zero.
Is that an issue number or an adjective?
Yeah. I'm just kidding, Tommy.
Batroc Zero is a standalone Batroc comic that I freaking love. Just Batroc having a day, not a good one, and talking about, you know, being Batroc, and it's a great comic book. I know Mike read it and grew to appreciate Batroc more after reading it.
That's the one where he's hired to delay Captain America, not to beat him, just delay him.
Yeah, that's right. He just has to delay him. And his ego gets the better of him, and he actually tries to stop Captain America, which is not his job. And it doesn't go as well as he might hope. It is a great, great single issue. What do you got next, Mikey?
At number 13, I've got issues number 284 to 296 of the Legion of Superheroes. It's the Great Darkness Saga. If you are a fan of the history of DC Comics, this is the seminal Legion of Superheroes story by Paul Levitz. In it, Darkseid appears in the 30th century, and he starts resurrecting great heroes of old, including one Kal-El, who now is under the thrall of Darkseid. And in order to ensure that he really kicks ass, he takes over the entire planet of Daxamites.
Well, all right. I didn't read that one, but it sounds great. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Serenity.
Which one?
All of them, because I wanted more of Firefly, and this was like it was like more Firefly.
All right. I'll take that.
I'll drink that.
All right. All right. I didn't have that, but that's a good one. And since you did that, I'm going to do my one that's one big, big, giant run because I couldn't pick one that I liked. I just liked the whole thing. Like you like Gru, I like The Goon.
The Goon's good.
The Goon's great. I mean, I can't picture a single issue of The Goon that I loved because they were all great, but none of them like really tore me up. So I'm going to say The Goon as a series is one of my faves. Mikey, what do you got next?
I just went with the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I think I skipped Josh. What do you got next, Josh?
Coming in at 16 for me is the premiere first year of Manifest Destiny, 1 through 12.
Ah, I should have got that one. Damn it. That's another good one, Josh. Nobody else had that?
Nope.
Nope.
Apparently not.
I knew Josh was going to pick it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to you next, sir, Mike. What do you got next?
Number 12 on my list is by friend of the podcast, John Ostrander. It is volume one of The Suicide Squad, issues number 21 to 22, called Rogues. In it, Amanda Waller orders the Suicide Squad to hunt down Rick Flagg because Rick Flagg has discovered a senator is about to blow the lid off Task Force X, and she orders him to stop him by using any means necessary.
Any means necessary, so Bullseye.
Deadshot is like, you got it, no problem. And he kills the senator before Flagg can. Mission accomplished.
Accomplished.
You said any means necessary. That's a great one. I should have picked that one, too. I loved the way that one played out. That's a good one. All right. Tell me, what do you got next?
Rick and Morty. Rickety Rick, Rick, Rick.
Rickety Rick.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
I'm Pickle Rick.
I'm Pickle Rick.
Rickety Rick, Rick, Rick.
All right. I think you're alone on this, but we all enjoy it.
But I got to read it. I love Rick and Morty. I have to read it.
Everyone who likes it has told me that it's as good as an episode, which I find really hard to believe.
It is really good.
All right. Well, I'm going to go for one that I am certain no one else will pick.
You skip Josh.
I like skipping Josh. I put him out of order. Josh, you want to go? Go ahead.
Coming up on number 15, Mike somehow has gotten to 12.
I'm like on 9, so.
I've got one that I'm pretty sure no one else is going to have. And it's a pretty long run. It is the Claremont run of the New Mutants. I love the New Mutants right up until Claremont kicked it to the curb at issue 54.
Yeah, it was never – I couldn't really get into it.
I loved Warlock and Cypher.
Yeah, I did love Warlock. That's the only saving grace, Warlock and Cypher.
I appreciate it now for what it is, but I hated the artwork.
Yeah, I couldn't get into the artwork.
Warlock was just, you know, a lazy man's version of a superhero. I could draw Warlock.
Here's one that I'm almost positive no one else picked. I picked this up as a goof because we talked to the author, and the author was really nice. Love and Capes. Love and Capes has become like one of my favorite stupid comics. It's more of a romance comic than anything else, loosely based around a superhero's love life with a Superman-like character and a Lois Lane-like character, and it's a fun read. No regrets. I actually do love and Capes. Mike, what do you got next?
It's a great series.
Agree. It's a great series. I mean, it's really not my thing. It's not like if I was in a comic book shop and I hadn't talked to the author. And he hadn't, like, said, hey, you know, you might like it. And I hadn't thumbed through it. I never would have picked it up. The art style is not my thing. The storyline is not my thing. But once I started reading it, the writing is so good. And the characters are so well and fully panned out that it sucked me in. So, yeah. What do you got next there, Mikey?
So, I am a fan of Valiant Comics. And I was trying to figure out a way to encompass all the love that I have for Valiant Comics with just one series, and for me that is The Delinquents issues 1 through 4. It is the first teaming up of Quantum and Woody and Archer and Armstrong. The whole thing is called The Hobo Code, and it is about tracking down the hobo's king's treasure. It is hilarious. It's by Fred Van Lente and James Asmuth.
I have got to read this series. Everyone's talked about it. I have to read this one. Didn't make yours, Tommy? You like this one.
It didn't. I love Quantum and Woody, but I didn't think to put them on here. There's just so many good comics out there that I forgot to put it on here.
All right. Go ahead there, Tim. What's your next?
Low by Rick Remender.
Low?
Low.
Don't pretend you didn't hear it. You just talked about it like 2 weeks ago.
I think, Tommy, you would really enjoy it because it does touch on tons of social issues.
I'm a social issues guy. And since we're going to be talking about social issues.
Don't skip Josh.
I'm not skipping Josh. I am skipping Josh to do mine. I'm going to do the Green Arrow. Green
no, Lantern. No, it's Josh's turn. Do Josh.
All right, fine. Josh, go next.
So coming in at number 14, I think we actually talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but because this covers three different Spider-Man comic books, Kraven's Last Hunt.
Oh, such a good series.
So good.
Didn't make my list,
I should have put that one.
Didn't make it, but I'm drinking anyway.
I should have put that one on. That's a terrific, terrific one. You want to talk about it a little bit?
No, we're beating feet here. Come on, people. If you want to read this stuff, go out there, read the list, and get out and read something.
Fine.
Talk your ear off.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Their cross trek across America with O'Neill. Some of the best comics ever written, in my perspective, in my opinion, about social issues in comic books. Denny O'Neill was never better when it came to head on. Talking about social issues. That's Green Arrow, Green Lantern series. No one else had that?
Hard Charging Heroes. Good series. Didn't have it.
It was a fantastic series, but I absolutely knew that you were going to put that on your list, and so I avoided it like the plague, Tommy.
Why?
Because I have tons of other great series that we were going to talk about that you are not going to have picked.
All right. That's fair enough. What do you got next, Mike?
For number 10 for me, I have issues number 608 to 619 of Batman Volume 1, Hush, by Jeff Loeb. I've talked about it many times, my favorite Batman series. It's got just about every major character coming in and out of the series.
What do you got next there, Tommy?
I have Irredeemable by Mark Waid.
Finally!
Oh.
I love this comic.
This is the Superman story that me and Mike always knew would happen if there ever was a Superman. It is a story of the Plutonian who one day does something that is not so good.
He sinks an entire nation. He throws diamonds into the ocean.
He destroys an island by throwing huge diamond meteorites onto it.
And then pushing on those diamonds and sinking the island. It's insanely good.
Well, and just the impacts alone cause huge tsunamis.
Yeah, and they
destroy everything.
And the heroes that are left, the Plutonian in his grace allows them to save 10 people off this very populated island. To let them know what it's like to be the Plutonian, because, you know, he feels like no matter what he does, he can't save everyone. So he sinks a giant island nation while allowing 10 people to live just to show, you know, how hard it is to be him. That is a great comic book. I'm glad we both picked that one because it's great. I'll be surprised if nobody else has this. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep trying to skip Josh here. Josh, what do you got next?
Number 13 on my list. I believe Mike is going to have this with me. Lock and Key.
That was number 4, you son of a bitch.
Anyone else?
I don't have that one.
All right. Yeah.
It's a great comic.
It's a great comic. You can't just pick one. Go out there and read the whole goddamn thing.
It's one of the few comic books.
Don't read it alone in the dark with just a fireplace on. Just go to a bright room, make sure someone you love is nearby, and have your phone in your lap.
Don't read it in Ken Clark's childhood home.
Just no.
Oh, God.
Or, for that matter, Josh, your childhood home.
Yeah.
Emily Dickinson's grandma's house? Yeah, don't do that.
I would hide from my brother in a bread oven in that house. That sounds frightening.
You need to go and read that outside on a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the few books I stopped reading and put in the freezer. I'm like, oh, all right, fine, fuck it. Put the book in the freezer and walked away. Like, can't hurt me if it's in the freezer.
Yeah, it was written by Joe Hill, who is the son of Stephen King. He's written a whole bunch of other horror books, and I'm glad that he decided to try comics.
Yeah. Nice job, Joe.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one that I think I'll be a little surprised if I'm totally by myself. I think at least you guys will slap your heads on this one. The original Longshot 1 through 4.
That's a good one. I do like Longshot.
It's a great one. Yeah, I mean, Mojo comes in on that one. That is a great series. I thought maybe some of you guys might slap your heads on that one going, yeah, fuck, that's a good one.
I don't know if we're both the 25, but that's a good series. And I don't remember, you know, it's so long ago. And they don't kick Longshot around a bunch. He's sort of a lost character.
I know, and I agree with you, but that is just such a great, great series. I mean, it's terrific. I remember it to this day, and I haven't read it. I haven't reread it since. But I really – I can clearly picture some of the panels and the introduction of how scary Mojo was and how frightening it was that he was a crazy TV producer above all else. And especially in this day and age.
And it was it was reality TV that was going to – that kills and destroys brains in the Mojo verse.
Yes.
How apropos in future telling it was.
Yeah.
Very, very prognostic.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it is easy for me to say, as drunk as I am. Go ahead, Mikey. What do you got next?
I'm going to have to skip down on the list because some other picks have been made for me. But number 8, I have Neil Gaiman's The Books of Magic.
Oh, I should have picked that.
Yeah, that's good.
There were two different series, but it's the miniseries where Tim Hunter, who has the potential to be the greatest magic user of all time in the DC universe, gets taken on a tour of the magical realms by John Constantine, Mr. E, Zatanna, and Dr. Occult, right? That's the other one?
Sounds about right.
Phenomenal. If you're interested in magic in the DC universe, this is the defining series.
Gotta agree with you on that one. I really wish I picked that one because it was really, really good. Tommy, what do you got next?
Cerebus, Church and State.
I was wondering where Cerebus was going to make your list.
That's a good call until he started getting too prosy.
That's why I specified which phone books.
Good call. I remember I was over at your place, and you were like, you need to read this. And you had volumes of these thick, thick books, and you're like, you'll love it. And I'm like, I don't think I have time.
And I don't think I have a lifetime.
And then after reading the first two volumes, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to just stay here with you overnight, LT. Thank you. That's how he seduced me the first time. Cerebus.
Cerebus.
Little aardvark love.
Great pick. What do you got next there, Josh?
I have the second and long-running season, sort of running parallel to Mike's Books of Magic, The Demon Etrigan.
Good one, but I didn't pick it.
I do love me some Etrigan. He's probably my favorite DC character.
Do the saying.
I will not.
Come on.
There's a whole poem out there that I read. Listeners, go back to the Demon episode and listen to the damn poem.
You can't do it by rote?
No. I'm a monster. Right.
You're a monster. All right. This one, I'd be more surprised if anyone else picked it than me, but Dracula versus the X-Men.
Holy crap. You are so right. Nobody's going to pick that.
Yeah. But do you guys remember that one?
I think I do.
Oh, it was so good because Kitty Pryde is Jewish and Dracula went to grab her and she held up a cross. He's like, ha, that doesn't work against me. You're a Jew. And then he grabbed her by the neck and she had a Star David on it, burned his hand. And it was really funny to me. And it's Dracula versus the X-Men. And it was hilarious. The entire issue was insanely good. I love that one.
She just should have phased the Star David into his heart.
That would have worked. That would have totally worked.
That would have been sweet.
She's got way more power than she thinks.
Yeah.
Is my point. Mike, what do you got next?
At number 7, I think we might have some people drinking. It is by Nick Spencer, issues number 1 through 17 of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Drink!
Yeah!
I still haven't read it. I'm a monster.
I didn't have it on my list, but I'll drink anyway.
It is so good.
It is an intricate plan, which I will not spoil for you, other than to say Boomerang, who I have never respected at all, earned my respect as perhaps the second greatest Marvel villain.
Boomerang has earned the power of self-respect.
That's right. Just slightly behind Stiltman on my rankings of great Marvel villains.
Wait, is this a sex thing?
Why would it be a sex thing?
Sex thing.
If you don't know why we're laughing, you should go read the book.
You should go read the book. LT, what do you got next?
I have Electropolis by Dean Motter. It's kind of a follow-up to Terminal City. It was a small run. It was a story of a sort of film noir story of a robot who was a private eye solving a murder mystery. It was fantastic.
All right. I didn't read it. But
do you like Terminal City?
Yeah.
It's kind of like it was set pretty much in the Terminal City universe.
Okay.
It was a great little series.
All right. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. What do you got next, Josh?
Well, we skipped my number 11 with Vader down, so we get to my number 10. So just breaking my top 10 is top 10.
Oh shit.
Is that Mike, was that number one?
No, I completely forgot about it. I blame the fact that I'm not at my house and I can't look at my bookcase.
Yeah, top 10 is great.
Damn you, Josh.
Josh, that is a great one. It's so many good characters.
I know.
I missed that one too, and I love top 10. I certainly would have bumped a couple of my guys.
And I told him I was in love with the neighbor's dog.
Wait, does that mean you can see me naked all the time? Yeah, but I don't care. Yeah, but I don't care. Really? Yeah.
God, I love those.
Those were great. And by the way, I heard somewhere crazy that HBO is trying to do that. Is that correct? Did anyone else hear that?
I have not heard that.
I heard that
HBO thought they might be able to do that, and I'm not sure where it stands, but God damn it, if they do it.
That would be amazing.
It'll be amazing, but hard. Hard. Here's a weird one for me, because Tommy, you recommended this on the back of the long box. The way you described it, I thought it might be good, so I decided to give it a chance. Phonomage.
Phonogram.
Phonogram, thank you. Where all the phonomages live.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Is broke my top 10. I mean, it's a really good comic book. I enjoyed reading it from start. It's a nice throwback comic book. It's set in, you know, it's once again kind of like Love and Capes out of my wheelhouse. This isn't my normal thing.
Well, I'm up to number 6, Josh, so I don't know what's taking you so long. But I've got Volume 7 of The Moon Knight, issue number 7 by Brian Wood. It's called Blackout, and the whole issue is about Moon Knight fighting a mercenary who's trying to assassinate a corrupt leader from an African country, and the whole battle is in Moon Knight's brain.
I remember you talking about that one.
What a great issue. And the 1 through 6, the Warren Ellis run, I thought nothing was going to top it. And then I read issue 7. So I love Moon Knight. I told you guys we'd see him again, and that's where he lands for me.
Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Batman Court of Owls by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Good one. I didn't think of that one.
Good choice.
I love that book. I thought it was brilliant.
And they were able to take a new spin on the Batman mythos, but it makes it feel like it's always been there.
It's so huge too. It really does touch on so very much in the DC universe, subtly. It's yeah, they really do make it feel like it's always been there.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Mine, you know, I'm glad that we're so all over the place. I thought we'd have a lot more crossovers, but you know, we all have such different tastes in comic books that I'm kind of enjoying listening to what everyone likes so much. For me, my next one is another one that I don't think anyone's going to have on their list, and that is the Dazzler, Cloak and Dagger, X-Men crossover, Battle in the Disco. Do you guys remember that comic book?
Oh, drink!
There you go! Oh, you're kidding me! You are kidding me!
Yes, he's kidding you.
I'm totally kidding you.
Oh, Jesus. This was such a stupid comic book, but it was a big crossover at the time, a one-shot, giant-size issue, Dazzler with the X-Men and Cloak and Dagger, and there was this big battle in a disco, and I can't remember who the bad guy was, but I do remember how much fun it was seeing all these characters all together in the same spot. And it was a terrific, stupid issue. So that was my next. What do you got next, Josh?
I have, by Klaus Janson and Frank Miller, a six-issue miniseries, Daredevil, The Man Without Fear, his origin story, rewritten. Brilliant comic. So well done. If you watch Daredevil on Netflix, a lot of that is taken directly out of those books.
All right.
It's my favorite Daredevil series, but it did not make my list. It's phenomenal, though.
All right, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. What do you got next, Mike?
My favorite DC comic series. It's called The 52. They had one issue every week. It was written by Greg Rucka, Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, and Mark Waid, some of the best writers of all time. And it focused in on the B or C list superheroes of the DC universe. And that's the story that we talked about in our very first episode, I believe, on Elongated Man. It's Elongated Man trying to find a way to reunite with his wife. And he does in one of the most horrible ways imaginable, but he does. So that's why 52 is one of my favorite DC comics of all time.
And they did one issue a week for the whole year.
Yes.
Have they omnibus that? Is that?
Yes. You can. It's in four volumes. All right. You can pick them up. It is well worth the time. It's got everything in it. You want space adventure? Got space adventure. You want magic? It's got magic. You want just straight up superheroes? It's got that too. LT, what do you got?
So I've got Batman Sword of Azrael from 1992, the four-issue miniseries. And I know Sword of Azrael ended up being not that great of a character, but in that four-issue miniseries, if you look at just that miniseries, it was so well done that it makes my list.
Sure, I'll buy that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Sure, it was wildly popular at the time. A lot of people liked that one. Josh, how about you?
Number seven, six-issue miniseries, Kitty Pryde and Wolverine from 1984. She gets kidnapped, turned into an assassin, and bisects Wolverine's heart with a katana. What's more fun than that?
I knew you were going to pick that.
Yeah, so that was
an easy one. Unlike Tommy, though, I picked it also, so drink. And the reason I picked that also is because it was really just a great issue and a great series run. I was going to, like, not pick it, then I'm like, you know what? It's okay. We like the same thing. We're friends. We can like the same thing. And because we like the same thing, kind of tangential to that is the Nightcrawler miniseries where he is a pirate in an alternate dimension. Anyone have that?
No, but that is a great series.
It's a great series.
It's so much fun. Kind of stupid, but so much fun.
And it is one of my favorite comic books, but it didn't make my list.
It's one of your favorite, but not top 25 favorite?
It's true. It's all true.
Okay. That's fine. What do you got next, Mikey?
Well, I'm into my top three now. At number three, and I know somebody's going to have it, it's Grant Morrison's Animal Man, Volume 1, Issue Number 7, The Death of the Red Mask.
Drink. Nobody else has the Death of the Red Mask?
Nope.
Oh, one of the saddest comics ever made. Mike, give us the short.
So Animal Man is flying around, and he sees a bunch of old-timey robots. And by old-timey, I mean imagine 50s-style robots that they were drawing in the 1950s. He goes to stop them. He finds out they're all being controlled from this one guy sitting on a rooftop, the Red Mask. And he hears the sad tale of the Red Mask, a supervillain who's always wanted to have one superpower, to fly. If he could have flown, he would have been a superhero. But what superpower does he end up getting? Cyanide touch. Every time I see this comic in any bin whatsoever, I buy it and I give it to someone as a present. Here, this is one of my favorite comics.
That is not a present. That is a burden. A burden that they must carry because it is the saddest comic ever written. And also it makes you want to read comics because you find out that's one of the comics that made me think comics can be serious. This comic book was so damn sad. You know, Captain the Red Mask, all he wanted to do was be a superhero, and he didn't. And in the end, he decided, you know what? Shit, I never tried to fly. Maybe I can. And he tries. And
thanks spoiler, for the spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
You can't tell us the ending and then say spoiler alert afterwards.
Spoiler alert. Something terrible happens.
He touches somebody?
Yeah, it's called and, Earth.
And it's a bad, and it's a bad touch.
It's yeah, called the Earth. Touch.
So, yeah, Mike, I knew we were both going to have that one. That one was a given. Tommy, what do you got next?
I have Grendel Warchild from 1992. This is a fantastic book. I can still remember buying the first issue of this. I mean, there was not a word in the first issue. It was all pictures, and it was just fantastic. The story was just so great.
That's just bad writing.
No, it was just so well done that it didn't need words in the first issue.
Absolutely, I agree.
And it was just, it's great. All the Grendel books are great, but this one was particularly fantastic.
That one was a terrific one. Josh, what do you got next?
At my coming in at number six, I just have a giant swath of the Mighty Thor, the Simonson run. So basically from 337 up to around 400.
Where is that one? Because I got a run too, but I'm not really sure what the numbers are.
Where is that? 337 to 400.
Is that
all, space? It's basically all of Simonson. It's not that space, no.
All right. Then my next one's going to not be yours. So going on with Josh's thing, my one is Space Thor, where Thor is stuck in outer space trying to find his way back with the Warriors 3. I love that one. It's Phantom of the Fantastic, Hogan the Grim, Thor, and the Recorder trying to find their way back to Earth, having these crazy misadventures. It reminds me a lot about the Black Panther's Space Frog run, but just very trippy, very science fiction-y, and a lot of fun. And I'm getting down to about 4 or 5 myself. What do you got next, Mike?
I'm down to number 2. I don't know what the heck is going on with you guys.
We're hitting a lot of doubles is what's happening over here. You got the more eclectic list.
So there are certain moments in comics that when I read a panel, it freaks me out. I get either excited about it or something happens and I need to talk to somebody about it.
Ooh, did you have to talk to Brian Tierney about this?
No.
Oh.
This, I had no one to talk to because no one I knew read X Factor by Peter David. It is volume 3, issue number 39. And to set it up, Multiple Man gets drunk one night, bumps into a wall. There's two of them. One goes into Siren's room and sleeps with her. The other goes into Monet's room and sleeps with her. In the morning, both of them hungover walk out and bump into each other, and he absorbs them. And he doesn't remember sleeping with either of them. Siren gets pregnant, has the baby. So this is a slow build all this time. And everybody's excited. They're all happy for Siren. They can't believe she's got this beautiful baby. She names it Sean after her father, Banshee. And Jamie, who has now developed a relationship with Siren because of the pregnancy, goes to hold his child in his arms. And when he does,
No,
he absorbs it. Because it was his dupe that got her pregnant. And the horror by everybody watching him absorb that child, effectively killing it, is unbelievable. You guys are just all staring at me. Yeah, that's how I felt. Like, what the fuck did I just read?
What the hell? What was that?
Peter
David. What asshole wrote that?
Peter David, what are you doing to me? Holy shit.
That's a horror story in a clown suit wrapped in a Mobius strip. What the fuck?
The emotional effect that it had on me while reading that, and then just watching how all the other characters reacted to what happened. It was a brilliant piece of writing that he had set up for over a year for that one freaking moment.
So what does that do to his relationship with Siren, though? Because
she tried to kill him. She tried to kill him.
But he's had a very close relationship with her for a year. But he's also had this mother-son bond going on as well that he reabsorbed.
Oh yeah, that's true. He would have he probably has the memories of from the womb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even more fucked up. Never thought about that. Thanks for doing that to me. I'll be staying up late tonight, you son of a bitch.
I bet you wish I had read that, huh?
No. No.
Send me that run. I'm reading that. And Sammy Savage is reading that. Sammy Savage.
That's X Factor Volume 3, issue number 39. But you wanna build up to the run? Read the 38 issues before that to see all the shit that happens.
I only want to read the issue where he bumps into the wall and reabsorbs the baby.
Those are two different issues.
I read a lot of X Factor, and I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all. That must be like issue 26 and then issue 38, whatever. I'll go for that.
It's Marvel. It'll take me like 2 days just to find it because of the way it's renumbered.
A good point. What do you got next, Tommy?
I have a book that I was so sad when it got canceled. Dynamo Joe by friend of the podcast, John Ostrander. Bill Foglio, Doug Rice. It was a first comic book. It ran from 1986 to 1988. It only had about 25 issues. It was a story of a giant robot mech that was piloted by two people in an army during a space war. And it was just a military story about these two grunts piloting this giant robot mech. And I loved it. It was fantastic. It hit all my buttons. It was space, science fiction, giant robot. It was great.
All right. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. I got four left. What do you got left, Josh? How many?
Josh has left the room. We'll pause for a moment.
We'll pause for a moment then.
I got one left. How do you
get one left? I got one left.
How is that possible? Because you've had multiples. I don't think you had 25 on your list.
I had 25. I had less than 25.
I had 25. But I got
one, two, three.
He kept
four,
asking
five,
me early six. On. He's like, "What about you, Tommy? What about?" He kept skipping Josh early on.
Yeah, I'm still on number five here.
I had 26. Sorry. I miscounted at 26. So, Josh, what do you got next?
At number five, one of my few single issues, Hulk 340, Hulk versus Wolverine. This cover just fascinated me when I was a kid.
Good cover.
Just the claws out and the reflection of the gray Hulk in there, and it really just showed you how much of a regenerator the Hulk was, even compared to Wolverine. That's a great issue. Just
it's a
one
great
big,
issue.
One big fight, start to finish.
One big, big, crazy fight. I wasn't going in any kind of order, by the way, because I don't want anyone to think that this is like one of my top three comics, though I do love this comic, Gotham Girls. Gotham Garage. Gotham Garage is out right now, and it's this crazy reimagining of the DC Universe where Lex Luthor is this crazy rich guy who takes over the United States through some very underhanded dealings and becomes this big plutocrat, and a crazy band of motorcycle renegades has to attack him at all corners. I like motorbikes and I like superheroes. I didn't think I'd like this comic book, but I grabbed a couple issues and it made my top 25 of this year because it's just a lot of fun. So there you go.
So tell me one thing, Tommy. What's his hair like?
I'm sorry.
Lex Luthor?
Yeah, he's bald.
He's bald. He doesn't have a lot of very fakish looking hair.
No, they didn't go that way with it.
So they didn't go realistic.
No, he has sentient hair that will hunt you down and kill you. It's called the Hell Toupee.
The Hell Toupee. Mike, what do you got next?
I'm up to my number one, and this
number
is
one,
the
guy.
Comic I had to run over to Brian Tierney's house and force him to read.
Okay.
It is actually a series of comic books. It is the Tales of the New Teen Titans issues 42 to 44 and annual number 2, commonly renowned as the Judas Contract. And when I read that one panel, when I flipped open and saw that not only had Tara – who Gar Logan, the changeling, Beast Boy, loved, had betrayed the Teen Titans to their worst enemy, Deathstroke. Not only was she smoking a cigarette, come on, you're only 15 years old.
I thought she was 14, but okay.
But it's heavily implied she's fucking the 40 or 50-year-old Deathstroke. Holy crap. I couldn't believe it. In addition to that, it also introduces Dick Grayson as Nightwing. It's got the first appearance of Jericho. And it's got the retirements of Dick Grayson as Robin and Wally West as the Kid Flash. It's the greatest storyline ever by the Teen Titans.
And drink, because that made my list. I only have two left now. Drink, you son of a bitch. There you go. LT, what do you got? How many you got left, and what do you got left?
This is my last one.
Oh, last one.
But I think you're going to be slapping yourself in the head.
Or it's going to be my last one.
Lone Wolf and Cub.
Ooh.
Josh, come on, Josh.
It was so close. I was vacillating on Lone Wolf. Yeah, I do love Lone Wolf.
Oh,
but
such a good series. I forgot
I
all about it.
I can't believe Josh didn't get Lone Wolf and Cub.
Well, you haven't heard my last three yet.
All right, but that was – you were obsessed with Lone Wolf and Cub. You love Lone Wolf and Cub.
It's a great book.
It's a great book.
Okay, that you're right. It's a great book, great series, and it really introduced a lot of people to that style of comic book. So Lone Wolf and Cub should have made more of our list. If I had thought about it, actually, I probably would have put Lone Wolf on there myself. Josh, what do you got next?
Coming at number four for me is The Watchmen.
Hop, drink that. There you go. I knew someone else had the Watchmen, for God's sakes.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It's phenomenal.
Meh.
It's great.
The Watchmen kind of introduced adult comic books to adults again. And I think we all owe them a lot of appreciation for doing that. Josh, why do you love The Watchmen?
It's the combination or the disparity between the street level guys, the guys who are just trying to make things work, and sort of the pinnacle of power that just gets so separated from humanity, and how that all just sort of interacts and how the world has to deal with that. I just love that book.
It's a great book.
It's a thinker, and I loved it.
Yeah. Right. Easily made my top three also. I only have one left now after that. And it's definitely not like my number one. Like I said, I went kind of out of order. But Watchmen was terrific. I'll be surprised if anyone has this one. It's Batman Silent Night. Anyone?
Nope.
It's a great Batman.
Me and Mike are out.
Batman Silent Night is a Christmas Eve comic book where Batman and Commissioner Gordon have this kind of tradition where, because Christmas Eve is usually kind of quiet, they go and have a cup of coffee together and they talk about how the year went. And it's really nice and sweet, and it shows how lonely both men really are. And I've always liked Batman Silent Night. So, yeah. Mikey, are you totally out?
I'm totally out. I got a bunch of honorable mentions, but I'm totally out. I'm done with my list.
Josh, Tommy, you're totally out?
I am. I've got a bunch of stuff that I thought would be on your list that aren't. But
all right. Well, I'm totally out. Josh, you got a couple left?
I got two more.
All right, Josh, let's get them.
Coming in at number three, this is one of my favorite comics because this was Mike just giving me the gentle nudge to the DC side. This is the DC comic, not the Marvel one. A lonely intergalactic police force, Legion. Vril Doc's cobbling together a police force that included the introduction of Lobo. Loved this comic book. It was just a combination of great sci-fi, procedural police show, and ridiculous comedy. I love that entire book. I love the entire run.
Was Gigantor in that one?
Gigantor wasn't there. Nothing, in my planet, nothing shows more respect than a poke in the eye with a stick.
Yeah, nothing.
And then, we hit my number one, which was X-Men, more specifically The Mutant Massacre. But my coming in at number two for me was the McFarlane run of Amazing Spider-Man, 298 to 328. Mm-hmm. Just some of my favorite moments in Spidey history, along with McFarlane just ripping onto the scene as just an up-and-comer. I just loved his artwork. I loved the way Spider-Man bent in positions no human should be able to bend. And it also had one of my favorite moments where Spider-Man just shows how tough he is, and he just kicks the crap out of Fire Lord.
Who?
Fire Lord.
The second greatest
herald ever.
Ever.
Right after Dazzler.
And that is my 25.
All right, so that's we went through the whole 100. Now, we've already gone way past an hour. I'm sure everyone except Diane is sick of listening to us ramble on. So we won't do anything else except, Mikey, if there's an honorable mention on your list that you really want to yell out, go ahead and yell it out.
All right. Astro City, Fables,
great.
New Frontier, Batman Elmer Fudd Special, Power of Shazam, The Question, Secret Wars, Vader Down. You guys already mentioned all those. Those are all ones that made my honorable mentions.
All right, Tommy, any ones on your honorable mention list that we didn't talk about?
Sandman, Death and the High Cost of Living, V for Vendetta.
Oh, V for Vendetta. That's a great one. Anything else?
I mean, those were the three that I thought you guys would pick that you didn't.
I would have added, if I had a little bit more time.
Oh, an Ambush Bug.
He was at my alternates, yeah.
If I had a little more time, I would have added Batman Black and White. All of the Conan series, because I thought those were great. And the new Doctor Strange one where Loki is the Sorcerer Supreme. How about you, Josh? Any honorable mentions to yell out?
Miss Marvel, Ether, Planetoid Praxis.
No Black Hammer for anybody?
Oh, Poe Dameron. Hammer's great.
Poe Dameron, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff got pushed down the list, so. Let's do quick plugs, but here's what I'm going to do. Everybody send me your list of 25 and your alternates, and I will put a big old post up on the website.
Ooh, big old post. Let's do this.
So I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com.
I would want to promote Wizard World Philadelphia. Come down there May 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. And if you haven't bought your tickets yet, you can use our promotional code LONG20 when you buy your tickets for 20% off. If you can't remember that, you can just go to our website. It's right there at the top.
Hey, let me just say that while we're doing this, that you can also go to our Twitter page, which is the Long Box Guys on Twitter. And you can also see that it's going to be tacked to the top of our page at some point. Long 20, we'll get you 20% off. And let me also plug our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/or maybe /. I can never get that right. The Long Box Guys. And you can get an extra episode every single week called The GOAT, Greatest of All Time, where we talk about some of the greatest of all time. And also, you can just see us arguing and talking about some very, very stupid, stupid, stupid things. Tommy, what do you got?
I, as always, would like to plug our Patreon. Please, please give it to our Patreon. Please, please. It's our 100th episode. Please show your love by giving.
Thank you, Tommy. That's well put.
And speaking of well put, Geek Orthodox. Our friends over at Geek Orthodox are awesome. Purveyor of all your fine geeky clothing and stained glass prints and all the other stuff that you may want. And let's not forget our friends over at the Who's Next podcast.
Sammy Savage's crew over there, they're doing a great job. We might actually have a little bit with them sometime this week because they've promised to call in and drink with us. They're always fun. It's more of a video game bent, but have a good time talking to them. And Josh, Philadelphia, that place where we get those donuts, is that your sector?
It's probably not going to be my sector. I think the Blood Sugar Bandits will keep me out of that sector.
All right. Well, then, hopefully it'll be my sector because my doctor says I can still eat sugar. At 50, that's a plus.
And Pussy, if you're listening, and I know you're not, we would love to have you as a sponsor, Pussy.
Yes, we would. And, Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
Goddamn right it is. Tommy, any last words there, buddy?
I think I've already said them. Pussy, natural energy drink. We would love to have you as a sponsor.
Goddamn right we would. And don't forget what I always say. Stop dissing what you hate. Just promote what you love. We'll all live a lot longer. And have a great night from the Long Box, guys.
On behalf of all the people here on planet Earth, I'd like to offer an apology for what it's worth. You see, I'm reading the headlines and every day it seems we're messing up in a major way. And so I call the coalition working planet crimes. And after waiting 30 minutes on the other line, a voice had picked up and said, thank you, hello. The solar system met and we're ready to go. Walk your dog, kiss your wife. The invasion stops tonight. We had a good run, but now it's done. It seems all the stupid people won, and all those who couldn't get along now lose anyway. We had a good run, but now it's done. It seems like the world had just begun. Now I'm sitting in my hotel room, trying to find a way.